Hey, welcome everybody to episode number 62 of We Talk Comics, WTC, back on the air and in your ear. This is Mo, We Talk Podcasts. I got Brett with me. Say hello, Brett.
Hello, Brett. See what I did there?
That's classic, Brett. Never gets old. Say hello, Chris, to Brett.
Hello, Brett.
Okay. Say hello, Keith.
Hello, say anybody. Brett.
What the hell? So those are the four regular hosts, and then this week we also got two people joining us. We got at Photocup. Matt, I'm going to screw up the name again here. Matt Centauri Griffith?
That's
Griffith?
Perfect.
Griffith?
That's
one of the two. All right, so that's from our friends at Comicosity, and from our friends at Comic Book Therapy, we have Comic Canuck.
Hi.
And Comic Canuck, as you can hear in the background, has a bevy of dancing women. He's a little bit of a playboy on the side. It's a harem, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's for me to enjoy.
Not during the podcast. Tell him to shut up. No.
You're late.
Those would be the comic website groupies that I hear so much about.
Fake nerds.
I'm just clever.
They're in costume, but they have no idea who the characters are.
Yeah, I was about to say, are they cosplayers? Yeah.
Well, trust me, the Comic Canuck, known affectionately to me and Brett as the Duke of Geek, he earns that title. Trust me. And you're going to find out. But he's promised not to swear this podcast, right?
Damn right.
This is the longest I've ever heard. That's the longest sentence he's ever gone without cursing. So we're doing good here. This is the Secret Santa story examined. It's the name of this episode. We had the Secret Santa story exchange earlier. These are the examinations. So what we're going to do first, though, of course, we're going to kick to our sponsor. The sponsor is the weekly news. You see, we have with a section. We call it the weekly news with Cub Reporter K. And then we have this website. I think it was called Comicosity. Have you ever heard of this website, Matt?
I am a little bit familiar, yes.
Yeah, what the hell is it?
Well, Comicosity is the place to get your comic book news, reviews, previews, special features, some done by co-hosts of your very podcast.
No kidding. You would have thought I would have gone there or something sometime.
Oh, I'm sure it's one of the many places you frequent online.
Do you know how to use the internet?
The internet can be used for things other than porn, right?
What?
Comicosity, sure.
Porn/comicosity.
Not all of us have a harem of women at our bedside like Comic Canuck there. But
I have to go.
Yeah, you really should. I would too. But anyway, you're
30 seconds longer than I expected.
That's how much you love comic books. You'd rather be here with us. So we're going to kick to the news with Cub Reporter K.
We have some newcomers to the Comixology app. Thrillbent has joined Comixology, as have the Dilbert cartoons and the Doonesbury cartoons.
Doonesbury?
This week. Yes, the collections of these cartoons will be available on Comixology.
Doonesbury. Because nobody was screaming for that.
I had no idea they had stopped making Doonesbury, I'd be honest.
I don't know. It's Doonesbury. What the hell?
Did they stop making Doonesbury?
Why did they start making Doonesbury? Anyways.
I'm sure it's funny to 10 people.
It's no Ziggy. Anyways. What else we got?
But is Ziggy on Comixology? I guess that's the next question. It's the next logical question.
That is the next question. Once he's there, it'll finally take off.
Yeah, then it'll be huge. Do you need their special reader thing for Ziggy? Is that the...
All right, Brett, what else we got?
Yes,
no, not
yes,
Brett,
but
Keith.
It's really depressing, though. Yeah. It's the same reader, but Vertigo has announced their new executive editor. Shelley Bond will take over the reins after the departure of Karen Berger. And Shelley had been...
Departure of who?
Well, let's go for a vote. Is it Berger or is it Berger?
I thought you said Cam Berger. That's the way it sounded. I was like, what the hell is that?
Okay, is it Cam Berger or Karen Berger?
Who doesn't like a good Cam Berger?
I'm totally going.
Anyway,
Shelley Bond, editor on titles such as Fables, iZombie, Sandman, and The Invisibles. She has been with Vertigo literally since month two.
That's amazing, because I've never heard of this woman. Anybody else?
Yep.
I've never heard of a woman, Mo.
You got me.
Her maiden name was Roberg. She is married to artist Philip Bond.
I never heard of him either. Anybody?
What? I've heard of him as well.
Yeah, I have as well.
You are apparently out of the loop.
Philip Bond, who back me up here. Worked on Invisibles, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that would do it.
It's actually a really good thing that you listen to the news. Oh, no, wait, you don't listen to the news. But it's a really good thing we have the news.
Well, I kind of, when Keith talks, I tend to space out.
Yeah, me too.
All right, what else is
on
this riveting section?
In this, Will Dennis has been made group editor as well. Will Dennis has been an editor and is now group editor. Karen has sent a message of support for this choice. She's very happy with the change.
And you know what? I can't say any longer that DC hates women, obviously, because a woman. I hope.
Shelley Bond? I don't know. I assume.
I assume.
The photo was convincing. That's all I'll say. All right. Comixology is the number three top grossing iPad app of 2012.
Holy crap. What's ahead of it?
We've got Dragon Veil and Slotomania HD.
Woo!
You know how easy it would be to make another joke about Chris's wife with Slotomania? But we will.
If only there was Google Punch on this.
Ooh, I would like to see that.
Captain Canuck. No, Comic Canuck. What the hell? I'll just call you whatever I want.
There, you forced it out of me. I swore. I'm sorry, but.
Captain Carrot. Let's just call him that.
I'm good with that. So anyways, Chris Beck, what are you doing?
Chris Beck is clicking on things.
I'm not doing anything.
It says you've added
it's trying
effects.
To kick me out of the. It was already on.
Comixology is. Comixology is routinely the top grossing app on Wednesdays.
We now have Comic Canuck on our screen twice.
Lucky
I wasn't prepared for that.
Keeping score at home. I don't know who you are, why you would keep score.
It's probably not the type of twins Mo was hoping for. But.
No, not in the least. Oh,
where are we?
Train Wreck Radio. I love it.
IDW is publishing a John Byrne Fantastic Four Artist Edition.
But I just want to go back to this Comixology thing for a second.
Sure.
I think what's really impressive is that we hear they're in third place, third highest grossing app, correct?
Correct.
And it's just taken off. Honest to God, so many people that read comic books aren't at all using that. I mean, that's, I think, largely. What do you guys think? Do you think the Comixology app is getting new readers? I'm going to throw this around to the group here. Do you think it's getting new readers or old readers coming back is actually probably better? Or do you think it's current readers who are going to that medium? I think it's more people that used to read that are reacquiring a taste for comic books through this app. And that's why I don't think it's even come close to reaching its potential yet, because eventually both, I think, current readers and more and more old readers will come back and new people will discover it as well. Let's go around the room. We're going to start on my right hand, which will be Matt.
Well, yeah, one of the things was so interesting about 2012 is that we sort of got this proof against the fears when DC and Marvel went same-day digital, that sales have gone up for all titles or, you know, all companies in general across the board at local comic shops. And at the same time, this Comixology has really just exponentially grown. And so I don't know that it's – I'm sure there's some current readers, but I've got to believe that they're – pulling a lot of people who either were buying before and had stopped, or new readers, especially with some of the digital first editions that the companies have been doing, and the media they've been putting out as well.
Keith, it's your turn.
I think one of the things that I really like about using Comixology is I had the free previews. I try a lot of new things. I explore broadly. I had some free time the other day and went through a whole pile of image books and just looked for anything that had a free number one. And, you know, a good, like about, I don't know, 25% or so of what they've got has free, has at least one free issue. So I get to try new things, which, you know, leads me to buy more things. But I mean, I was half a lapsed reader when I got back, when I got into digital. I don't want to get single issues. And, you know, with my project right now of not buying trade paperbacks, all that money's going into Comixology right now. I think it allows people to experiment. I think it allows people to have that broadness of trying. And I think for those of us who got out of single issues largely because they didn't want to carry them around, it's a great option. And for people who got out and want to try, it's really accessible.
All right. From a man who had a lot of free time to a man who never has any, Comic Canuck.
You know, I can take a bit of a different take on this. As great as it is that sales are up, I think, all across the board, digital and other, but talking about digital, I think it comes down to part of it could be argued that it's either teens or older guys or older women, whoever, that don't want to actually, how to put it, almost have a stigma of going into a comic shop. So they don't want to be labeled the geek that goes into the comic shop. And I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just that they just don't want to be like, oh yeah, I went down to the comic store today or what have you. Or it's maybe there's kids at school who think they're going to be made fun of because they actually go into a comic shop and they don't want like their peers to see them. And so they download that way and it's easier. They can just sort of read it in private.
You know, I think that's actually a really interesting point. I think that it's possible that there's a privacy to this, to this hobby that, that could actually be helping sales. Chris?
Yeah, I think our friend Longbox Graveyard had a good point about apps and the demonification of money in apps. Because I know I'm a whole lot more agreeable to click buy on 5 issues digitally than I am to pick up 5 issues in a store. I think we have... Oh, I think we do have more readers of both new and old, but we're also buying more at 99 cents the issue or sales in the app itself. I know I'll buy 5 issues without even thinking about that, and I think that contributes to the revenue.
And, Brett, you got anything else to add?
Well, any time that I can buy a Ted McKeever collection for like $3.99 for like 500 pages or something like that, then I'm all over it. So, Comixology, yes.
All right, and one last thing I'm going to throw out here then, see if anybody has any opinion on this, simply just raise your hand. Is it possible we could see Comixology eventually become the number one app, grossing app?
You know, I'm going to jump in on this. I think they could. When you have Disney now being the powerhouse that they are, and they're just going to crank out as much good content, or even if it's bad, I can see them really sort of dominating that, you know, flooding the market with their content, which in turn will get people to download more and really hitting, I think, more of a kids audience. And, you know, as we all know, I think it's hard to find a good kids comic to get a kid into a comic. Like if the parents are worried about, say, violence or what have you. So that's my take on it.
You know what? And I'll let, Chris wants to talk on it. So does Keith here. So Chris will go first here, but, just to make that point. I think you might have something again there. I hate to admit it, but you're nailing it here. You're nailing it. Chris.
I'm drunk, so.
I know you are.
No, I think it's not significant what number it is on the list. I think what is significant, I believe it was the only app to place both on this year's list and last year's list. So it really doesn't matter where it is. It's showing staying potential and a high volume.
Mm-hmm. And Keith, you had something to add as well?
I don't have the top 40 list right in front of me, but what I found interesting when I saw that list about a week ago is that Comixology is number 3, but Marvel and DC as individual apps are also in the top 40. So, you know, Comixology alone is not even 100% of Comixology's business because those two apps both feed into Comixology ultimately.
And
so
you know what else?
That's a lot.
You know what else is, I wonder if this is actually a positive of the, all the movies we see, with comic book characters. Maybe people that wouldn't have bought a comic book and still won't go into a store will look at an app like that and go, what the hell? I'll try that. I wonder if there's any fallout from that because we do talk about how they don't necessarily capitalize on the potential new audience, but maybe it's just coming out as a side effect of fallout. Any thoughts on that, anyone?
Well, Comixology. No, you go, Brett.
Well, I'm just going to say that it has to be easier to find something movie related on Comixology than it does in a comic book store. Often, I mean, in a comic book store, you can go and there's a bunch of choices, but at least, you know, I think it feels tougher to browse in a comic store if you're not used to reading. Whereas on Comixology, you can do it anytime you want to, however you want to, and you can just go on, buy a single issue, whatever, and you don't have to feel like it's this crazy kind of scenario.
And, Matt?
Well, and there's a whole, you know, sort of viral aspect to it, too. I mean, when you have a website that you can give someone a link directly to your book, and you're putting that out on Tumblr, on Twitter, on Facebook, and you have a fan base, however, you know, small we have to understand some internet fan bases are, there's still a lot of buying power there. And so just the interface alone has a huge advantage. You know, I can easily see Comixology, they really are already, but remaining the sort of Amazon.com of comic books, which doesn't necessarily bode well in the long term. But so far it hasn't seemed to have any ill effect on local shops. So it's all good.
Well, and you know what? We do see people, I mean, we have heard it from retailers themselves. The people have tried these books digitally, said, I like this. I want to go to a shop and get it. Mm-hmm. And it's created interest that way too. So maybe they can both grow at the same time. All right. Keith, I'm sorry to have cut you off. Duker, Chris, Comic Canuck, whatever the hell you're called. You wanted to add?
Yeah, I had one quick thing on it. I was thinking about it as you guys were all talking.
Yeah, because weren't listening.
Yeah. I think that, I think the other market that, like Comixology is hitting, and like Marvel and DC even with the digital comics, are people who, you know, for example, travel a lot for work or live in an area of the world that maybe there's just not even a comic shop, or even in the States, or some. I talked to some guys on Twitter who don't even have comic shops in their towns. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you've got a whole other market that's always been there that couldn't actually just grab onto it, like physically. So,
no, not everybody's going to get on the bus to go to work and just pull out a graphic novel and read it, and not care what everybody thinks, like Chris, like our Chris, but. They might be willing to do it on a iPad or whatever. All right, guys. I'm sorry, Keith. I thought that was kind of a topic to be discussed based on your news story there. So please go ahead with your news.
Absolutely. Well, I will just add one final note, which is that while we were interviewing Curtis last week, Curtis Weeb on the show, I said to Mo afterward that I had actually, while we were discussing, went on to Comixology and bought the whole backlog of Curtis's work that I didn't have. So impulse buy is another great thing
absolutely.
That it has to offer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this story is a little bit old, but because for Chris Beck, I wanted to get this in here. Harlan Ellison's Seven Against Chaos graphic novel coming from DC.
I'm on a constant death watch for that, man.
It's
been like 20 years, man.
Harlan Ellison and Paul Chadwick.
Chadwick as well. Nice.
Coming September 2013.
When you say coming, you're right. That's going to be an awesome book.
Although I do believe they've worked. Chadwick did do some illustrations in I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
Perhaps.
What's the premise of the book?
Pay the writer. Yes, it's just rant. Sorry.
It's okay.
In the distant future, Earth is in grave danger. The fabric of reality itself is unraveling, leading to catastrophic natural disasters. And it is a sort of Seven Samurai story.
Sounds like This Friday.
That's right. This is the last podcast before
the end of the world,
end of the Mayan calendar, time wave zero, the eschaton. Did Morrison ever come up with a title for us? The last page of the Invisibles.
Yep, we'll be walking into the super context.
Well, you know what I have here right now? We have Crisis on Infinite Comic Sites going on right now.
Right.
I killed the conversation. Okay.
That's okay. That's okay. As soon as we start talking about Grant Morrison, everything grinds to a halt.
Typically.
Then you're not going to like what I do in my review.
It's just going to stop dead. Let's leave that one for the end, okay?
All right. Sounds good. We will.
Charles Soule, or Charles Soule, depending on the pronunciation, writer of 27 from Image Comics, is the new writer on Swamp Thing.
Has that been confirmed or just rumored?
Well, apparently it's hilarious.
It came out on a rumor site, but it has been retweeted by or talked about by other creators at DC.
Oh, okay. Cool.
What's the reason Snyder left Swamp Thing? Did he just finish his run?
Partly finished his run and partly busy.
He is only writing 1,000 books, so he really, you know.
Slacker.
Yeah, he has said that he's finishing the story that they intended to do from the beginning, that they're good. Yeah, that he's not leaving quickly or anything. He's wrapping up.
Okay.
We've got some new Image books coming in March. We have East of West by Jonathan Hickman and Nick Durgata. We have Five Ghosts Haunting of Fabian Gray by Frank Barbiere.
What was that called? Five
Moneyham. Five Ghosts Haunting of Fabian Gray.
Another maybe 50 there's Shades a of Gray. Maybe there's another 50 Shades of Gray ripoff here. Or, no.
And Lost Vegas, Jim McCann.
I think Comic Canuck is having 50 Shades of Grey at his house tonight.
Well, I hope it's better written than that.
And Savage Skull Kickers number 1.
Nice.
Skull Kickers has taken the Malibu idea that they never got off the ground. They are just doing number 1s now.
Nice.
So they were the Uncanny Skull Kickers number 1. Comes out in February. Savage Skull Kickers number 1 comes out in...
Oh, there's going to be the Amazing Skull Kickers, the Incredible Skull Kickers.
Superior Skull Kickers.
All new. Yeah.
Yeah, the all new Skull Kickers.
Yeah, Superior. I bet that's the next one. All right.
She Skull Kickers.
We can only hope. Yeah.
That'll be good.
All right. And that's the news.
That was it?
Yeah. Well, we talked for about a half an hour there.
Oh, did we?
It's late December.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Who's announcing news at Christmas?
Amazing Spider-Man number 700 is leaked all over the place.
Yeah, I know. I'm resisting reading it.
It is.
I bet
spoiler.
You, Comic Canuck. I bet it's killing you to know what's out there, but you want to get a hard copy.
No one say a word.
It's going to be hard to avoid. It might be easier just to read it, just to avoid finding the spoilers.
It is. It's going to be. It'll be a bumpy ride on the Twitter for a few days here, as people read it illegally, get upset, or if they work at a comic store, read it and then get upset. They have already.
One second. Isn't this a couple times now that this particular series has been leaked early?
Yes. Which is something that they're really looking into now, because part of 698 had leaked as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so that makes you wonder if it's A, what is the leak? Because the fact that it's two times with this particular book on this particular storyline is a little suspicious, meaning there's either somebody you can't trust there, or meaning that perhaps they're leaking it themselves to create buzz, or you know, is there some conspiracy theory here? Any possibility? I can't think of what Marvel could win from that.
What, from leaking it themselves?
Yeah.
They win everything.
Yeah.
It's the same way that they, in fact, it's even better. So instead of releasing the story to USA Today and pissing off every comic book fan in the world, they're releasing it accidentally, and people feel like they get the in, and they don't get to be connected to it.
That's possible.
I mean, I'm not saying that is what's happening. Right. I'm just saying that would be a scenario that is very beneficial to Marvel.
I swear
that
to God.
In that scenario, I instead of me getting furious at Marvel for telling me Captain America died before the issue came out, telling me Human Torch died before the issue came out, I get mad at the people who are spoiling a story that I haven't read yet. So I'm actually mad at people on my level being block happy with the Twitter feed instead of Marvel. Mm-hmm.
I really hope Superior Spider-Man is Speedball.
Okay, everyone give your wildest prediction right now.
We're all hoping that, number one. Wildest prediction. Who could
Alex,
it be?
Alex Power of Power Pack. That's
I thought
my dream.
Didn't he just show up on, like...
He's in the Future Foundation.
Yeah, okay.
Harry McGinnis.
From Sex and the City?
No. Batman Beyond.
Okay, well, that's kind of impossible, Chris. We said wild.
Said
it's not
wild.
Stupid.
It did say wild.
It was
it
wild.
It's not wild. Fair. Exodus.
That's fair. Robin Hood.
We've licensed the character for a year. We're going to use him. No, come on. It's everybody knows it's
Ant-Man.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, because we need another Ant-Man.
It's Kraven the Hunter. Ant-Man. It's Kraven the Hunter.
Spread
probably
his out
Prowler. It's probably the Prowler, but I'm hoping it's, the Prowler.
You know what I think? Since Slott said he's going to put himself into a bunker, I don't really think this. I'd actually probably want to shoot myself, but Ben Reilly.
No, it's got to be the Spot.
Nice. I go with
you wouldn't even have to really change the costume. Just put a different dye job on.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested Harry Osborn, which I thought was very interesting.
Is Harry Osborn
Harry
currently
Osborn.
Alive?
Yes, he is currently alive.
Oh, is he?
All the Osborns are alive somewhere.
Yeah, he came back in, unless he died after Brand New Day.
No,
he's alive.
Like,
what if it's Uncle Ben? What if he comes back?
A young
That's
Michael Ben.
That's my prediction.
Bucky. Huh? Bucky.
Bucky. It's Puck.
No man?
It's a different Bucky, though. It's Jack Monroe. Nomad.
Oh, yes. We could get Nomad back.
There you go. All right. We're filibustering now. Or no, we're not stalling. Whatever we're doing.
And that was still the news.
That was still the news.
Whatever it is we're doing, we're not doing it very well. So.
Whatever it is we're doing, we're never doing the Secret Six again.
Oh, the Secret Six. That was totally the title.
It should be, yeah. Unfortunately, we got the Santa story thing here. So one more time. Basically, the concept of this was we decided what we would do is do a Secret Santa exchange idea. But instead of exchanging a gift, what we'd exchange would be a storyline idea that we think is terrific that whoever we got in the draw we knew hadn't read and we wanted to expose them to, hoping to treat them to an excellent story. So we're going to open up, Brett. You're first. Who again gave you a story?
That would be Chris Beck. He gave me a story.
Yes.
Yes. And what did he give you again?
He gave me the new volume of Mucktuck Wolf's Breath Hardboiled Shaman.
All right. Largely probably a conversation between you two here because you two were the ones who exchanged it. But just we're going to open up. Chris, why don't you say again, what was it you're hoping to accomplished by giving him this particular book with a title I can't say.
Yeah, don't get him. Don't even make him try.
Yes. No, I was trying to expose Brett to a web comic book, actually, in particular, that I know he probably hasn't seen, but had read a very different incarnation of. In when he was reading early Vertigo, because at the time, both me and Brett were reading just about every Vertigo title. This is an entirely different take on the same character.
So, Brett, did Chris accomplish his goal?
Of giving me something that I hadn't read? Yes, yes, he did.
Score one for the good guy.
No, actually, I like the book. I thought it was really good. I think that I was concerned going in about Laban's art because I was unaware of how well the story would mesh between the shaman, the hard-boiled elements, and I actually, one thing I will say is that I think that the hard-boiled shaman part goes together way better than I ever would have expected. Terry Laban does a fantastic job of researching it to understand what needs to go into these stories. And I think that it's because of his level of understanding that I appreciate the stories that much more. As far now, as the art, oh, go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, I was just going to ask you. I suffered from several pages of disconnect when I first read it. I had trouble getting into this one because I was so used to a more realistic style. Mudluck Wolf's Breath has a very cartoony style now. How long did it take you to actually adjust to the new art?
Well, I think that it probably took me about the first chapter really to do it. I think that once I realized that the story worked so well, I think that the art didn't really bother me in that case. It's a totally different style than you ever would think of, but it just, at the end of the day, it really works for it.
It's kind of a chocolate and peanut butter thing, isn't it? Because
yeah.
I was shocked how well that the caricatures of the face, rather than a more realistic style, actually contributed to the whole noir feel or the hard-boiled feel of the comic book.
And when he goes into the spirit world, I appreciate that because I think that the art style is perfect for the spirit world. I think the only thing that I will say about it that's kind of a negative is I found that I can't read it all in one sitting. I basically had to go kind of chapter to chapter to chapter on different days to get through it. And I also wish that I'd read the early stories that are in the back of the book first, because I think even though they were a lot more wordy and a lot different art, I think I would have kind of gotten a better, an even better feel for the character by the time that you read the big story.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say, and we should just mention, if you're interested in this comic,
I'm going to cut you off.
Okay.
One more time here, Brett. Give the title of the book, please.
Mudluck Wolf's Breath, Hard-Boiled Shaman.
And the author or creator?
Terry Laban.
Okay. Chris, where can we find it?
You can find it at hardboiledshaman.com. $5.99. You can also find it on Amazon's Creative Space if you'd like a hard copy. Excellent okay. book. I truly enjoy this book.
All right. Sounds like Brett would recommend it as well. So let's move on here. Chris, who gave you a book?
The other Chris. Comic Book Therapy Comic Canuck gave me The 12 by 12. The 12. By one of my favorite writers, and I was actually shocked I had never read it. I was just a little bit tired when this came up of Joe Straczynski's Spider-Man. I was actually really quite pissed at him at that point.
Okay, one second. Before you go into your full review here, once again, Comic Canuck, what did you hope to accomplish by giving him this?
Well, you know, everything I'd heard about Chris is that he's read everything under the sun. And so the 12 I picked up a while back, just on a lark. I saw it sitting there, the art caught my eye, picked it up, thought it was going to be crap. Turned out to be a really enjoyable, fun read. Before J. Michael Straczynski ticked us all off. and I thought, wow, it was a really well put together story. Some great heroes. It was actually the first volume, 12 issue series, but only 1 to 6 was done, as we discussed last show. So, you know, I just really, much to my surprise, long story short, I thought, well, if I had just seen it by chance, maybe there's a shot that Chris hadn't seen it yet either. And sure enough, I just wanted to read something that he'd never read. So,
well, then you actually did accomplish your goal. But okay, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, this is a strong book. I actually view it as sort of a companion piece to Rising Stars. Whereas Rising Stars, you have young heroes coming together. This is older heroes displaced out of time, and they're from the feel I have of the series, because it is unfinished. I felt them coming together. I found myself reading this, and I really kind of wanted to ask Chris if he's read Rising Stars, and how does he feel about it if he has?
You know what? I haven't read Rising Stars, so I think that's something that I should check out.
I actually feel Rising Stars. Where is the 12? I read it. I went, that's a really good book. Rising Stars. I actually put in the upper echelon of all my comic books. I truly love the series. The one thing I found missing from the 12 that is in Rising Stars is the interconnectivity of all the characters. You don't get a true sense of the world that this takes place in. And in the 12, I found it a little bit hard to take that they introduce it in the Marvel universe, and then no Marvel character is ever mentioned again after the third page.
However, sorry to jump in. Just for the listeners out there and for the rest of you, and as Chris mentioned and I mentioned, it took about 4 years before they just finished it last year. Issues 7 through 12 are released, and then now it's in a collection. I just picked up the 7 through 12. I haven't read it yet, but so who knows? Maybe they will go that route somehow.
I've only read volume one, so.
Yeah, no, of course.
Is this its own self-contained universe or this storyline not at all related to Rising Stars or anything else?
It takes place in the Marvel universe.
Takes place in the Marvel universe, okay.
But after the third page, you don't get any Marvel stuff at all.
Okay.
All right. You know, sorry, I know we might be tight for time, but that's what I liked about it. You know, because it was this band of heroes that I've never seen before, and it was, it's swashbuckling action. It was so much fun.
Oh, no, it was. I'm just wondering why the first three pages were even there. I would have much liked it better if they had skipped having Captain America and Sergeant Rock or Nick Fury and all the World War II heroes making a quick cameo.
You know what? My guess on that, Chris, is I really think that they said, you know, we've got to grab the reader immediately and hold them in. And if we give them that sort of taste of, hey, you're actually in the Marvel Universe. Here's some people you know. Now let's continue with the story.
That and some of the names of these characters are really stupid. I had a hard time with the Phantom Reporter.
That's great.
His stories appear nowhere.
Oh, Phantom Reporter. I mean, he's obviously a cipher for the Crimson Avenger over at DC, but, I mean, that was really stupid.
All right, I'm just going to say someday we're going to have to discuss Rising Stars, because I know at the time it came out, I loved it, and it seemed everyone did, and it seems now is one of the most hated books out there, so it's kind of an interesting one maybe to discuss down the road. All right, so Comic Canuck, once again, who gave you the book, and what is it?
So Keith gave me the book The Underwater Welder by Canadian Jeff Lemire, artist and writer. I'd never heard of this book, so that's a good thing. I knew if it was coming from Keith, it would be a good read. In this collection that I picked up.
One second, before you move on again, I'm just going to go. Keith, what did you hope to accomplish by giving him this particular book? Why this one?
Well, I don't know Comic-Con too well, except from Twitter, and I know he's mostly a Marvel reader, and I wanted to really get outside of that box, so I thought about some DC stuff, but I thought this is a book that is definitely in the running for my favorite original graphic novel of the year. and it is Canadian. So I gave him a couple of options. This was in my three options I presented. This is the one he went with. And, really just getting this book in front of more people is a good thing.
All right. So go ahead, there, Comic Canuck.
Well, you know, as soon as I saw Jeff Lemire's name tied to it, I was like, well, I've got to pick that one as a no-brainer. But, you know, again, like I said, I'd never heard of this, this book, and holy crap. Like, I just finished reading it 10 minutes before we started tonight. That's
well, he's busy, folks. He's
so
busy.
So it's fresh. So I'm still digesting it, actually. But, you know, Damon Lindelof, Lost, one of Lost producers, TV show, he writes a very good foreword in this book, and he talks about, essentially, he says, this is the Twilight Zone episode that you've never seen. And how do I put this nicely? The book itself is a complete mind
bend. Hump. Hump.
And I loved it. Like, I'm a writer by trade, but I do really appreciate, obviously, I've been reading comics forever, but I really do appreciate good art to go with good writing. And the fact that he did both in this book was just astounding. Black and white graphic novel. I've never been a fan of black and white graphic novels ever until I read this. And it really set the tone of this whole story. And I'm going to go back and read it again. Basically, I don't even know where to start to explain it. Keith, maybe jump in on this for me. Because again, like I said, guys, it's still really fresh, but it's still, there's a lot to take in.
It's a hard book to explain plot wise. It is such a one character, like explanation of one character who is an underwater welder, someone who's uncertain about his life, and he picks this job that is very solitary, very quiet, very solo, and one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. It is hard to tell you the plot of the book. I actually read this twice in 1 week. I read it digitally going down to San Diego, bought a hard copy from Lemire, and then read the hard copy on the way back. And still, you know, can't summarize the book.
Sorry, Keith.
Go ahead.
There's so many little nuances, you know, with the way that Lemire ties his art to his words and his words to his art, that it's actually, you know, having read so many hero comics in my life, to just sort of be essentially like, way to go, Keith, like rip me out of that world for a bit, really made me appreciate good storytelling and just how really fantastic art and the way his style. There is a scene where Jack, the main character, is listening to the radio, and you've got about three pages where it's nothing but drawings. And the radio, he has I don't know how to explain it, almost like a stream, like a wave across the page. And you can see the words all written sort of jumbled. And I just found myself drawn into reading every single word. And it for three pages took me almost 15 minutes, because I kept going back to see if I missed anything. And I don't know how to explain it other than I was really pulled into this book, pulled into the story. And I actually, by the end of it, I'm like, well, shit, I want to know more. You know, I want to see more about Jack. And Jack, the character, he's becoming a first-time dad. His wife is pregnant. And as a first-time dad myself, Jeff Lemire must have written this from experience too, because when you're becoming a parent, it's kind of scary as hell. And you really... like I know I did. I put myself into situations that I was comfortable in, and I knew I could focus on this, this, and this, because I knew the outcome leading up to the birth of my daughter. It's like I knew I can control this and I can do this. And I look at this other path. I had no idea where I was going, and Jeff Lemire really nailed that. And you know, it's just little things like that just are fantastic. So I'm rambling on, guys.
I love this, and I liked hearing your explanation there. What I love about this is exactly what this concept, when Brett came up with it, was intended to do, to give you something you would never have touched that you would end up loving. And maybe make you think about exploring books like this again in the future, which you never would have if you hadn't gotten this. And that's kind of what's that's this is an utter success. So I love that. That's fantastic.
Oh, for sure, Mo. Like I was at I picked this up at Phoenix North, and I was in there again last week, and I just a quick hit. There was a reproduction of Jeff Lemire's first book. I can't remember what it was called. Someone else jumped in on that, but
Keith, you know,
so it was Lost Dogs, the first one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I almost picked it up, but my Christmas budget wouldn't let me do it, but I'm going to pick it up, on Boxing Day when it's on sale. Anyhow,
have you read Essex?
No. You know what? It's interesting. Actually, Essex County, is something that I saw when it first came out, and I was like, wow, this looks pretty cool, and I just never picked it up, but now I'm going to for sure.
And you know what? Hopefully, maybe it's not just the books like this by Lemire, but just books of that style, which maybe you weren't something you had explored much before. I know my favorite graphic novel of the year, The Red Diary, I showed it to you because it's beautiful, and I could see in your mind, you're going, looks interesting, but I would never touch it. I could just see it when I was showing it to you, just that, oh, yeah, this looks really like it's high quality. I would never go near it. It's not my type of thing. And maybe Keith has kind of wedged that door open a little bit.
Well, you know what? I think he has. But even when I remember when you showed me Red Diary, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was based around World War II Nazi Germany,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, having grandfathers that fought in World War II and thankfully survived, I have a real affinity for those types of stories. And I just, at the time when you showed me, I was just sort of like, well, you know, I could pick that up, but
you're busy.
I was busy.
Sorry to interrupt. It's World War One, actually.
It's World War One. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guys. Sorry. But you,
same
you,
idea. So yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, we'll just cut that out, but
no, we won't. That's all right. It's a good point. So we should move on.
Yeah.
We should move on, but utter success. All right. Good job, Keith. And Keith, who did your book? Who gave you?
That was Brett.
Brett, who's he?
I don't
Wait,
know.
I know him. Brett.
Brett assigned me all of the comics.
What did Brett give you? Once again.
I gave you the first omnibus of Captain America, the Ed Brubaker run.
Crap.
Yes.
Oh, it's 27 issues of Captain America.
I know. You finished Underwater Welder 10 minutes before we started. He had 27 issues to read.
I know.
And Keith finished a week ago, and he's done nothing but bitch about it ever since.
My favorite is when Keith says, I know what I'm going to do if I drop Brett and Secret Santa next year, Cerebus. The whole run.
let's do a secret Easter Bunny Santa thing.
It's fun to do.
Ever draw Keith again, I'm going to give him a one-shot, I'll give him a short, eight-page backup story.
Yeah.
Just to stop him from whining about it.
Just send him to The Hobbit.
I wouldn't do that to anybody.
The Hobbit was the best nap I had all week.
Yeah, no kidding. To quote Jay Sherman from The Critic on The Hobbit, in my opinion, it stinks. See? My imitation? Pretty good. Pretty
I disagree.
Good. Well, you can listen to that one later when we put that up.
We're going to have a little podcast talking The Hobbit. all right, Brett.
All right, well.
What do you hope to accomplish with this sucker?
Well, in this case, I mostly... I mostly hope to accomplish giving a few people, such as Matt and Aaron from Comicosity there, the chance to have Keith read a book that they like and I like, and just kind of finally step into the Ed Brubaker run of Captain America. I know that it's a little off of the off of what we were hoping to accomplish, because Keith would have read it eventually. But it was more of a, get off your ass and read it, okay? And that was really where we were going. But unfortunately, and this is the terrible thing, is that I found something just yesterday that is significantly shorter that I'm like, well, damn it, that would have been perfect if I'd given Keith that to
Easter.
Read. So it's just, it's too bad, gonna, but it came way too late.
Let
so.
Me guess, it's something short. It's a Bazooka Joe comic.
No, you're gonna... no, no, it definitely isn't. But
is that a Captain America 101 idea I had it in front of me?
It's one.
How about this weekly homework assignments for Keith?
Yes, that's a great idea.
What am I? Oh, it is 100. Captain America 100 is. Dang, I don't know if anyone told Comic Connect this is an audio podcast or not, but he was holding something.
I just wanted to share that with you guys.
He loves whipping out his Captain America.
I that's exactly what I call it. I love it. Yes, I'm aware, listeners out there, the 10 of you that are on this.
His
right
wife
now,
calls it his Quicksilver, but.
Oh. You're the Minuteman, my friend. No, yes, as we can all see each other, I wanted to show that I had Captain America number one. It's
thank you so much for that.
Oh,
all right, so we know what Brett wanted to accomplish. He wanted to shut up all the people on Twitter and kept on saying, tell Keith to read this one.
Yeah, read Captain America, you bloody. All right.
So, okay, let's on over to Keith. Keith, and full disclosure, I read the first four issues of this, fell behind a couple of months, then I found myself falling behind a couple more months, going, wow, that's a lot of books. That was eight of them at that point. And going, that's a lot to catch up on. I'll get to it someday, and I still haven't. You had to do 27, you sorry bastard.
Mo, next year, Captain America. Two omnibuses.
I was only joking about Cerebus. I'm going to make Brett read 52.
the main series is down to zero. Saga. Don't do that. What's that?
I'm going to make Brett read the Clone Saga.
Oh,
nice. I've already read it.
Yeah, it doesn't count if he's already read it. Yeah. Manwolf.
Capwolf.
Read that too. Yeah. That's only six words. It's not a lot of words.
This was on my. This is on my to read pile, but to be fair, there's probably 1,000 comics on my to read pile right now because Cerebus is actually on my to read pile to reread. So there is. It's not an exaggeration to say there's probably 1,000 comics on my.
I just want
to,
as an aside, just in the middle here, I just go around the room. Brett, how big is your to-read pile?
Oh, it's monstrous. Every time somebody opens their frickin' Yap, my to-read pile, like, grows by a book. It's just like, oh, great, the 12. Yeah, I've never read that. That sounds like it could be interesting. I should give that a read. Well, We 3. Nope, I haven't read that one either. I'll go through that one. You know,
exactly. Chris, how big is your to-read pile?
I would have died in an avalanche long ago if I didn't switch to digital.
Chris bought, this is not an exaggeration for our listeners, Chris bought something while we were doing the show. We had to break for a second, he bought something during that break.
Comic Canuck, your to read pile, and I know you have an end date on when you want to read this particular pile.
That's funny, I usually my New Year's resolution is to just try harder winning a lottery, but no, this year is an actual one. I have about 210 comics sitting in two long boxes that I have to read. I mean, I really want to read by the end of February 2013.
And Matt?
And I would have ordered the John Byrne Fantastic Four Artist Edition while we were talking, but it's not available yet.
Matt, how big is your to read pile?
Actually, surprisingly, my comics to read pile is not that big. You know, I'm probably, I don't know, I would say somewhere between maybe 50 and 100 issues total.
That's a pretty big pile.
Well, but mostly on Comixology and, you know, but I haven't read a novel in like 2 years. So that pile is
pretty big. Don't even get me started on novels.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's
if
a
we
whole
go
other...
there, then it's
I,
bad
That's what I've been
news.
Trying to do recently is catch up on some books. I got some setting aside. Yeah. But also, as I'm because now I'm reading books, I've started putting trade paperbacks that I want to read beside my bed. And every day I look, I don't know how it's like they're breeding or something, because that pile's getting bigger all the time. It's a little frightening.
I will say next week my read pile will be much taller because I asked for a ton of stuff
for Christmas
and Hanukkah. So I will have a lot more stuff. But the good news is that I have a deadline every 2 weeks that I have to write about something. So that kind of provokes me to get it read.
All right. And I'd like to
are
right now thank your husband for not throwing...
Well, I'd like to just right now, Chris.
Keith, just one second. One second. Yeah. I'd just like to thank Matt's husband right now for not throwing a party while he's doing the podcast on his end as well.
Well, at least, you know, the universe abhors a vacuum, so I have to have one in my background happening right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a Keith...
Talk some frickin' Captain America. What's wrong with you?
Captain America. So this is this has been on my to read pile for a long time, and that it ended is a good reason why it actually ends up in the pile. I get so far behind that I just wait until something finishes before I even start. I know that this is on many lists of great runs of all time, and it turns out that it's quite good. I don't know why I would be so surprised reading it to think, hey, this is enjoyable. it's like I've been watching.
Wow.
I've been watching the AFI 100 list, and I keep having the experience of, I finished watching a movie, and wow, that was quite good.
Oh, wow.
And I had that with this book. The plus is I really, really like Epting's art. I love Brubaker's tone. I like that. He just doesn't. I like Brubaker's approach, which I had heard in a later interview, like a recent interview, where he said he just rejected the whole idea that Captain America never killed anyone, that Captain America wouldn't touch a gun and all that stuff that was very, very 80s. That was Grunewald's take, and he just threw all that stuff out because he thought it's ridiculous that a guy who was a trained soldier in World War II would be disinclined to use a gun. Or that he has never killed anyone. He just found it a ridiculous notion. So I like that approach. I mean, it's not, the grim and gritty Captain America for that. It's just taking a more, realistic isn't the word, but, a more logical approach to who this character might be. What had always put me off this run was that Jack Monroe,
it's way more than that.
Nomad, former Bucky, Bucky 2, dies rather suddenly and without
Spoiler alert
for a 6-year-old an 8-year-old comic, 7-year-old comic. It was spoiled on the day it came out by a news story, probably.
leaked issue?
But he dies so suddenly. And this was a character I really liked in the late 80s, early 90s. And pretty much without any fanfare, and so that had put me off this run for a long time. I actually read the first couple issues when they first came out and was put off it. I'm still not really okay with that, but I know why he did it, and I was able to kind of put – I can kind of approach it the same way I can World of Krypton now, or the War of the Supermen thing, that I didn't like the concept. Now that it's finished and it's out of continuity anyway, I can enjoy it.
I gotta say, I'm well past, just to cut, I am so far past being upset by anybody doing anything to any character or any storyline, because I know it's gonna change again in the next week or in a year or 2 years. Like right now, whatever's gonna happen with Spider-Man, I'm just gonna enjoy the storyline because I know it's not permanent. Eventually, Peter Parker will be Spider-Man again.
Ruin it for me and I will kick someone's ass, I swear to God.
Well, you don't want the spoilers, the story spoiler, but as far as, like, taking it seriously or okay, Jack Monroe's dead. You know what? Jack Monroe will come back. Harry Osborn just came back.
I don't see many peanut campaigns going on for Jack Monroe.
Wow.
Who cares, unfortunately?
No, unfortunately.
I love
the
character.
Thing,
I don't think they're bringing him back.
But you love the character. Keith loves the character. It takes that one writer who loved the character, who has the power, who will do it. That's what we usually see.
Yeah, those were some awful comics. I love them, but there were some awful comics. I don't there,
so moving,
think there's
moving
too many
right people. Along, dragging
like
this out
train.
As long as possible.
Like a freight train here.
The momentum of this episode.
six people,
so
never again.
I really,
Brett, have fun editing.
I especially like the 65th anniversary special, which was the period piece. It takes place in 1944. I thought that was interesting to tell this story because it gave a picture of who Bucky was from Brubaker's perspective. One of the reasons I had no interest in Bucky coming back is that I never read any stories of Bucky. I have no nostalgia for the character. Aside from the odd Invaders issue, I had no exposure to the character. He was dead 10 years before I was born. So it was interesting for him to create that character for me. Having accepted that he is back and he's been back for years, tell me a story. Tell me who this character is and how you see him, how you saw him as a kid, who Bucky was when he was 17 and he was a sidekick. I was really interested.
Do you think that would change your viewpoint of the Winter Soldier if you went back and read that?
I do. I think it would, actually. I am intrigued to continue reading. The only negative I have to say, actually, about the experience of reading this book is I never read Civil War. So I found the three issues of the Civil War crossover quite disjointed because they're really telling side stories to what's going on in the main Civil War story. So I found that kind of difficult to follow.
Yeah, that's the death of crossovers, you know.
Yeah, that was challenging. But, I know why Brett picked the Omnibus as opposed to just Winter Soldier as an arc. Because
he's a dick.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
But he's a dick with my best interests at heart.
Yeah.
Now,
his dick is nothing.
What was the end event of 27?
25.
25. What was it the death of Captain America?
Correct.
Okay. Now, did you find, I found that whole storyline very abrupt. There was a lot of stops and starts for me. I loved the story, but I mean, you have the death of Red Skull, you have Buck, the new Bucky, and then you have the death of Captain America. Did you find that at all disjointed?
Not really. I think it was really only those last couple of issues because it really, I don't know if it felt like they were rushing to the end or if it was just that the effect of not having read Civil War that I didn't know. I'm reading the B parts to this plot that I haven't read the A plot to. I'm getting kind of side adventures from Civil War without having read Civil War.
I just found they were rushing to plot points all along that entire series. Very well done, but still very hurried.
You're just used to Jonathan Hickman and his languidly moving from plot point to plot point.
I do like a slow comic book on occasion, yes.
It's like a cat with a string. Ooh, what's over there?
Squirrel!
So I enjoyed the book. I will be continuing to read. So do not assign me Omnibus 2 next Christmas. I will endeavor to be further along than that. I don't know how many issues is in the whole run, like 100 or
8,000.
Yeah, I actually don't
double
know.
Double shipping to be an Omnibus every 6 weeks.
I mean, I actually haven't finished the entire run. I've really only made it just into the second. Omnibus,
and he's done Winter Soldier. Is it December or January?
I think it's on issue 13.1 or something like that coming up.
Yeah, he's still Brubaker's still writing that. He's left Cap, but he's still writing Winter Soldier for a couple of months, and then he's done. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know what issue goes out on. Yeah,
cool. Another success. Where generally it doesn't seem like now that I've got Brett, you've enjoyed your story. Chris enjoyed his. Correct, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Comic Canuck loved his. Keith enjoyed his. So we're so far we're batting 1,000, which is really what this is supposed to be. So now we get into Matt at Photo Cub.
Hey, Keith.
quit showing us.
Keith showed us first.
Video.
That's right.
Focus. Got,
what I'm showing
Keith
here is like.
You. Both of you focus. Quit. This is not a
Comic Canuck. This is at San Diego. He was giving
these guys are just, they're passing books back and forth through video here, trying to do a frickin' podcast. Matt.
Yes.
Who so, gave you your book?
You did, Mo. And you gave
who?
Me.
Who gave it to you?
You did, Mo.
Oh, I hear. Oh, wait, hear Mo. Really?
Hey,
so, Mo, I hear he's a great guy, Mo is. So nice.
I hear that, too.
I don't.
And now and now we've got Matt holding things up to the camera. Good again, Matt.
So, anyway, Mo gave me Kyle Baker's You Are Here, a Vertigo graphic novel from 1999. And Kyle Baker was the artist and writer.
And the reason I gave you this is because this is a Kyle Baker is somebody who I think is very, very, very good and high quality, but not very much talked about. But also is somebody who I think is actually very mainstream as a general rule, but also very mainstream enough that almost everybody will enjoy it. But smart enough that smart people will get a little extra out of it, such as yourself. So I thought you would enjoy both the humor and all the other stuff that he manages to weave into his storyline. And I just thought it was a good read and no, one that I was quite certain you had, you know, thought of. So,
right. Yeah, and I hadn't read really any Kyle Baker, although I do have to amend that. It turns out that I actually have read Kyle Baker's Truth miniseries when we wrote Captain America,
the Black Captain America series.
Yes, the Black Captain America. So, yeah. So I had read a little, but that was such a
that's
long.
It's very different. Yeah, very different.
Absolutely, very different. You know, I really enjoyed the book. I thought above all, and I think this is probably one of the reasons why you enjoy it so much, Mo, is that the dialogue is just incredible,
isn't it?
So well written. So I mean, just I was just marveling over the interplay between the characters. And, you know, for listeners who haven't seen it, you know, You Are Here is really a story of this guy, Noel, and his girlfriend, Helen. And, he has a secret. And when they leave the woods to go to New York, it all sort of unravels. And I think the really interesting part of it for me, I mean, the art is just beautiful, but it's this odd sort of Disney princess meets noir story that it's a mashup that I've never really seen, and I thought it was really very unique. And, you know, I think that particular combination, too, created this really this inversion of the usual like femme fatale character. So Helen is this just bubbly, happy, you know, she's exactly like a Disney princess in the modern world. She can talk to animals. She's, you know, really one with nature. She's got all of this sort of good.
She wants to watch a sunset every single day.
Exactly. And she's got all this sort of good power to her. And so having a character like that in this type of story that involves gangsters and murder and really being the complete opposite of what a femme fatale usually is, you know, that said, I do feel like that sort of like the way the Crying Game did for the femme fatale in film, I feel like this really asked a very big question about that for comics that really probably wasn't truly broken down in a more feminist way until you have someone like Brubaker a few years later doing Ms. Misery in Sleeper or Catwoman, and of course now in Fatale. But I thought that, you know, as the sort of the earliest twist on that concept that I can remember in comics, it was really, really fascinating. And, yeah, I mean, the art is just honestly, like, looking at the characters, they are as if Fantasia was a comic book instead of about comic books instead of about music, that this would be it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the lead character in this book is, I mean, you look at him and you know it's Robert Mitchum. I mean, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't really identify with him nearly as much as I did with Helen. Yeah. And you know, and like I said, it sort of bothered me that she has so much sort of power at the beginning of the story, and as Noel's truth sort of unravels more and more, she just loses it to the end when she really has none, and she's almost sort of ruined as a result. But that aside, I think
that's true to the story, though.
No, and absolutely no.
And this book, I'm sure, on occasion, gave you some action and some thrills, but also, I'm willing to bet, more than once made you laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm. And it really made me think a lot. And that's something that I, of course, really, really appreciate about comics and about things that I haven't read before is, I read this twice. So, Keith, I thought it was a really... it was a very thoughtful choice.
Yeah, and I can tell you it's his second best work behind Why I Hate Saturn, which you must check out, especially if you love the dialogue in this. Dialogue in that is the best you're going to read in a comic book.
I'll have to check that.
Part of me is actually getting mad as he's giving his review, going, how dare you like this book this much without having read Why You Hate Saturn?
Why I Hate Saturn. Well, the thing is, Chris, is Why I Hate Saturn's a 10 out of 10, but this is a 9.8.
Ah. Oh, what a 10 out of 10. I just love that book so much.
Yeah. This is, you know what I mean? Like, this is almost as good. But not quite. Not quite, but almost. Alright, great. And, me, I had some guy named Matt who gave me my book. It was We Three. Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely? Did you pronounce it Quitely? Quitely? How do you pronounce his name?
Isn't it Quitely?
Mm-hmm. Quitely? So Frank Quitely. So why did you choose this again? Well, and I know you say you give this to different people when you're trying to introduce them to comic books. So what's the reasoning behind that?
Well, the reason is, I'm a huge Grant Morrison fan. So there's that. But I am the first to admit that not every Grant Morrison thing is for everyone. But I do truly, truly, truly believe that We Three is for everyone. It's really, I think, the most accessible and the most downright beautiful from writing to art thing that he has ever produced. And it's short, too, which is great, especially for people, not necessarily you, Mo, but for people who aren't used to reading comic books a lot. It's definitely a good thing to get people interested in.
Yeah, Keith, mine was
isn't
short.
Isn't the minimum 27 issues? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. No, I was short. I was done real quick. I read
Keith still finished his before you finished yours, Chris. So.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Captain.
Back to my short thing.
Yeah, back to my short thing. Wait, that was a joke, wasn't it?
No.
We took a shot. Yeah, you know what? This is... I really don't know what to think of this book because you say it's for everybody. I found it very, very disturbing. As an animal lover, I find it very disturbing, not just in the treatment of animals in this book. And it's a good job making everything realistic for something that's really quite a ridiculous concept that these, animals are dressed up like tanks and can talk and, communicate and take out an entire army of person when it's just a cat, a dog, and a rabbit. I mean, and I know this book wasn't overly successful, and I think a lot of that is just because it's a picture. Like, you look at the covers, and it's like, wow, that's a picture of a rabbit. And just, like, there's rabbits lost. And it doesn't have anything to do with the book on the inside, so nobody would look at this and think that's an interesting comic book. So I think marketing-wise, they kind of failed the book. The art is awesome. I mean, quietly, he's awesome. He's one of the best there's ever been. As a storyline, but I think it really stuck with me and gave me a lot to think of. And I actually really love the way it wrapped up. That said, the majority of it, I found it too disturbing to be enjoyable, even though it's high quality.
Well, but so that's interesting. Too disturbing to be enjoyable. I mean, I don't know that I necessarily would give this book out to someone and say, oh, this is a fun book.
It's not. Like,
no, it is not. It's not necessarily a fun book. It's a book that has made me cry. It's a book that's definitely scared me. But that's. I think there's a whole lot of power in that.
Well, but the thing is, that's where I think I was a little disappointed, is that I think there's a lot of stuff that's brought up and alluded to, but not necessarily dealt with, just kind of glossed over. I think that there's stuff that there's no, it's just certain issues are not explored enough, but they're disturbingly put in your face for me in order to find it as satisfying as I hope. But it stayed with me. I mean, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since I got it. And read it there a couple of days ago. It is a very powerful book, but it's not really an enjoyable read. So at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm glad I read it, but is this something I'd read again? I don't think it is. But it's kind of like Platoon. Remember watching the movie Platoon, thinking, what a fantastic movie. I never want to watch that again. It was too disturbing and hard-hitting for me. And in some ways, I find this like that too. But again, I think it's just that I didn't quite get a lot of the stuff that he does. It just kind of happens without any context to – no consequences to actions. I feel like there's not consequences to actions to the level that I wanted to satisfy what I was looking for in the storyline for me personally. So, yeah. It is a high quality book though, but yeah, that's kind of my take on it. So again, thank you very much though. Mm-hmm. Secret Santa. All right. Final thoughts, anybody? Let's go through here. Brett, final thoughts.
Well, now for the second part of my plan, everybody switch and everybody else has to read everybody else read.
Maybe we do. Maybe everybody has to read. What's that?
I'll take we three. I don't want the omnibus.
No, Mo gets the omnibus.
I think everybody has to read everything, and we come back and discuss everything.
I think that's a great plan. Done. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's not right away.
He has read all of this already.
Let's go.
The man is insane.
He loves the idea.
Yeah, I think I have the 12 on my iPad, and other than that, I think it's just the Mothlep Shaman stuff that I need to pick up.
So I need to learn how to pronounce it first.
There you go. This might become a once a month thing, the way this is so much fun.
No, you know what? I mean, I did have a lot of fun with this whole concept. I think that it worked really well. We were generally very successful with what we gave to people, and I think that I don't know that we could do it once a month, but I do hope that it's opened all of us up to something new, and I think that for that reason I look forward to making this like a more yearly thing, and I certainly appreciate everybody who joined in.
Chris, your final thoughts. No, you'll get your plugs at the end here. His final thoughts and plugs. So that's Brett_WeTalk with two T's on his name. Chris.
All right. I'm Chris at WeTalk Podcast. I'm sorry. Final thoughts or plugs? you confused me by backing up. I'm sorry.
And you're not giving out, again, you're not no longer giving out your email.
Oh, just Twitter now?
Just Twitter.
Okay. Okay. I'm Chris_WeTalk. And I think the most surprising thing about this podcast was I was totally taken aback by Mo's reaction to V3. I really thought he'd dig it a whole lot more than he did. But I didn't take the over-the-top some of the over-the-top elements into account. I tend to discount that a whole lot. But he has some valid points there. I was completely surprised.
Okay, and final thoughts, plugs. We're going to leave our two guests to go out last, as they've earned that. So we're going to go on to Keith.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Cub Reporter K, and check out my blog, 900 Things, on WeTalkPodcast.com. And I was really glad we did this. Yes, I have moaned quite a lot to Brett of the massive tome I had to read, but it was something that I've been meaning to read and hadn't been getting around to it. I did really enjoy the read. I look forward to continuing on with more of Brubaker's run. I've liked his work elsewhere, So I fully expected I would like this, and I did. And but it, having been introduced to Epting's art, actually, which I hadn't seen elsewhere.
I love Steve Epting since his Avengers run.
He's, when he was doing Avengers with Black Knight and Cersei, and nobody was reading it.
And Tom Palmer inks? Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and you and I were just sitting there talking about how great it was.
Really enjoyed that. Yeah, I really enjoyed his art, particularly. So, and Brett's right. I will have a different approach to Winter Soldier when, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, when I make it through the whole run and get up that far, we'll check in with what I thought of Winter Soldier.
At that point, his Winter Soldier run will be almost as long as this.
And
But he doesn't have to read it if it's not Brubaker.
So there's six of us. How many? Show of hands. How many have? Are rereading or have reread Invisibles in the past month? Matt, you, Matt finished.
Yep.
I have just the last trades, the last 12 issues to go. Brett, where are you at?
I'm halfway through the second, a little over halfway through the second run.
Okay.
Issue 1, volume 3.
All right, that's where I'm at.
Wait, I lost it because I went back to read a lot of stuff to catch up for the Comicosity list. so it was just like, okay, the Invisibles will get pushed to the side, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I need to finish reading the damn Invisibles. Okay.
So wait, Chris, are you on issue 1 or issue 12? Because that one runs in reverse.
Oh, that's right.
Issue 12. Okay. I actually haven't started volume 3 yet. So I sort of finished 2 and went, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Oh, you got to make it. It's a swift downhill from here.
As we record, it is 3 days till volume three, issue one, the final issue takes place.
Right.
Yeah, so who's getting drunk on Friday? Might as well.
It's choose your own apocalypse week. There's like 3 or 4 different times predicted. It's choose your own apocalypse.
All right. Mo underscore we talk. So that's Mo underscore we talk. No E on my name. Thanks very much to everybody for joining us. Everybody is actually going to be back for our next show, which is the Geek Summit, except for Matt, unfortunately, because he's a little too far away to join us, because that one will be a live panel in person. Our We Talk Comics Super Summit. So Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. I'm not sure what you celebrate there, Matt.
I celebrate Hanukkah at home and Christmas with my family.
Nice. Okay. Well, very much. I hope it's a wonderful holiday season for you then, my friend. So thank you very much. And thank you very much for the story. And I think it is a success here because everybody enjoyed their stories. And me, who didn't necessarily enjoy a story, I'm still really glad I read it. I'm really, really glad I read it. So that's, you know, because it did stick with me and it gave me something, definitely. Thank you very much. Check out the Comic Podcast Network and be prepared for some more great stuff coming. We're going to extend our survey that we have on the We Talk Comics website, as well as our giveaway for a Comics Tribe prize pack. So you can simply email. Listener appreciation at We Talk.
No, comics at WeTalkPodcast.com. And that's comics plural.
Yes. Comics at WeTalkPodcast.com. Header, listener appreciation. That's all you have to get to enter the random draw to win the prize pack, the Oxymoron hardcover, the scam t-shirt, some scam issues. Really, really cool stuff free, and we'll get that off to you as a listener appreciation. And also fill out our survey on what you like on our show and what you'd like to see, and you can win a digital edition if you're a Comixology account of Peter Panzerfaust. So that we're going to extend that for 1 week each because we kind of got our show up a little bit late due to some issues last time. So we're going to do that. And I think that's it. I'm personally OUT. We're going to go to Matt next. Matt, do your plugs.
All right. Listeners can find me on Twitter at Photocub, FOTOCUB. And of course, at Comicosity.com. We are next week between Christmas and New Year's running our best of 2012. One per day, all of our most of our contributors, I should say, including Keith and Brett. as well. We'll be doing a full list of their best series, writers, artists, OGNs of the year, and I'm pretty excited to see. I actually have seen all of them. I'm probably the only one who's seen all of them so far, and they're very different. A lot of things, you know, coming up, but repeatedly, but still a lot of perspective. So it's a really great look at the people that put together Comicosity. You know, given that Friday is, you know, Friday or Saturday morning, the end of it all, I just would encourage everyone to finish your Invisibles reading and check out my column that's dropping Friday morning that explains it all. So the super context, Barbalith, all of it. And with that, I will be OUT as well.
Thank you. All right. And if by some miracle you don't find all your comic book needs that you want on Comicosity, because it is a great site, there's another great site you can find anything else if you just need a little bit more out there. And that's run by our friend who I appreciate very much joining us tonight, Comic Canuck. Your plugs, you will end the show tonight.
Well, hey, guys. excuse me. I am at comic_Canuck on Twitter. And I'm the co-owner and managing editor of comicbooktherapy.com. We're a group of international comic fans in the UK, the States, and Canada. Started the site a couple years ago. But anyhow, enough of that. You can read it on the site. I want to thank you guys for having me on. It was, it's always a pleasure. Sometimes. and, just a note, great idea. I love this, Secret Santa concept, now that we've done it, not a concept. Good execution all around. And, Keith, Underwater Welder, I'm going to read it again, maybe in a few weeks. Still, it's a lot to take in. It's really good. And while we were talking, or while someone was talking, I was being rude and I downloaded Essex County on my iPad. but I'm not going to read that until after I read my 200 plus comics sitting here, in the next couple months. So. Thank you again, guys, and we'll definitely throw the love out for Comicosity and We Talk Comics podcast on our site. We're setting up a new friends section on comicbooktherapy.com, so we'll do that.
Wonderful. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yay. Merry Christmas. Happy everybody. Jesus. Dad, come on. Deck the hall, everybody, as one. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
The unison button isn't working on my computer.
Good Lord! Enthusiasm, folks! One more
happy
time.
Holidays!
Once more with feeling. Yes.
Buddy the
three,
Elf. What's your favorite
color? 3, 2, 1.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, I don't want to be back tonight with. Always do.